If you've got a Bible, would love you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to read to us a passage that's meant a lot to me in recent weeks and months as I reflect on the bad news world in which we're in and what it is to be Bible-centered, gospel-hearted, good news people in today's world. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, Paul writes this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What I'd love to do this morning is share a few characteristics of what good news people are like from this passage and encourage us with it. And the first thing I want to encourage you with is that good news people are part of something. So verse 6 says, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you've heard it and truly understood God's grace. I want to encourage us today that we are part of something amazing. Do you know, all around the world today, around 2.4 billion people will get together to worship Jesus. Isn't that amazing? We're part of this global family all over the world. And at the time of writing, when Paul wrote these words, there would have been a few thousand Christians in kind of South Europe and the Middle East. That has grown all over the world. But what I want to encourage you with this morning is for most of us during most of our lifetimes, in terms of in the UK, church attendance and openness to the good news has been doing that. I don't know about you, but every time I've seen a census in the last few years, I've been discouraged. You look at the news and think less and less people are interested in Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning that the tide has turned in the UK. That more and more people are coming to church. More and more people are open to the good news of Jesus than I've experienced at any other time during my lifetime. See, one of my jobs at the Evangelical Alliance is I study the trends in terms of mission and in terms of attendance in church and stuff. And so I became aware of this at the beginning of last year when an organisation called OnePoll talked to 10,000 people across the UK and asked them about their religious beliefs, not Christians, but a whole segment of the population. And this poll found that just 13% of under 25s said that they identify as atheists. And that Gen Z were half as likely to be atheists as their parents or grandparents. This was terrible news for the National Secular Society. Then that was January. In March, the Times newspaper reported that Bible sales had increased between 2019 and 2025 by 87%. Isn't that amazing? Do you know what? That stat's already redundant because the latest stats come out and it's even higher. Bible sales are at their highest since records began. people are reading the Bible and buying not just the kind of YouVersion digital copy, which, by the way, has had over 1 billion downloads across the world, but they're buying paper copies. I wonder whether, in a world which seems full of bad news and the shifting sands beneath our feet, people are looking for a firm foundation on which to stand. They're finding it in God's word. That was March. In April, another piece of research came out, talking to students. This piece of research was done by Savannah Comrades. You might have heard of them, big research organisation. They talked to all students across the UK and found that 29% of all students said they read the Bible at least once a week. I've got people in my church who don't read the Bible at least once a week. Then they talked to non-Christian students and said to non-Christian students, would you be up for reading the Bible with a Christian friend if that Christian friend invited you to do so? 33% said yes. Then a couple of weeks later came the biggest study that came out last year. You might have heard of it. It was called the Quiet Revival. It was done by YouGov. Huge sample size of UK adults. And they found that of people who identify as Christians and go to church at least once a month, not for weddings, christenings or funerals, that's increased from 8% to 12% in the last 6 years. And what that means when you put that across the whole of the UK population is that there are 2 million more people going to church now in the UK than were 6 years ago. Isn't that good news? Paul wrote 2,000 years ago, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. You don't need to do anything to make the Christian faith viral. It's already viral. We are part of something amazing. And my encouragement to you this morning is that it might be happening on your doorstep without you realizing it. I realized this last Easter when I felt in the build up to Easter, as we come up to Easter again, Steve, timely postcard, get on to that in a minute. But in the build up to last Easter, I felt the Lord just nudge me. And you know, when you're kind of spending time in your kind of quiet times praying, reading the Bible, I felt the Lord just encourage me to knock on the doors in my community, to give out Easter eggs and to offer to pray for people. Now, this might surprise you, but I'm often a reluctant evangelist. I turned around to the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. I work for you all year round. Can I not have Easter off? I felt the Lord's gentle rebuke. And so I went to the supermarket, bought a load of Easter eggs. And on Good Friday, we knocked on the doors in our street. And we simply went, Happy Easter. We gave people an egg. And then we prepared a little line to say. It's always helpful to prepare something you're going to say. And as a family, we knocked on the door and we said, Happy Easter, gave him an egg. Then we said, we're the family who live at the top of the road with the silver car, but we're also a Christian family. Is there anything we can pray for you today? Do you know, the response was extraordinary. We were just blown away. First house we knocked on, this couple answered the door and kind of shrank away really like timidly. We were like, are you okay? We're not that scary. My kids are quite cute. They said this, no one ever knocks on our door. Do you know, for many people, even around us, they're living in a loneliness epidemic. There's a friendship vacuum in our world for so many people. Next door we knocked on. This fella answered the door from the upstairs window. And I've got to say, I was a little physically intimidated. This guy had tattoos on muscles in places I don't even have places. And he kind of looked out the window and went, what do you want? And we kind of said fairly pathetically, we've got an egg. Turns out he likes chocolate. So he comes downstairs. And I was a little bit in my mind thinking, do I ask him the question about prayer? But I kind of went, we're the family who live at the top of the road with the silver car. Is there anything we can pray for you? He said, you know what? I'd love that. He said, my dad's died recently. So we got to stand with this guy in his grief. Next door we knocked on. This woman answers the door and her eyes were immediately drawn to the chocolate. You could tell she really wanted the egg. But then she had this little kind of straight, she says something really strange. She says, I'm not sure I can accept your egg. We're like, okay. She says, see, I'm a pagan. I'm not sure I can take the Easter egg. But then you could tell she really wanted the chocolate. So she did some kind of pagan theological gymnastics in her head. And she said, but I'm a new pagan, which means I can take the egg. Who knew? But the most amazing house, we knocked on this door and these two kind of older teenagers answered the door. And they said, something that really stretched our prayer muscles. They said, would you pray we have a nice life? We thought we can do that. So we prayed we have a nice life. And as we finish the prayer, the mum comes down the stairs. And she says, were you guys just praying? We were like, yeah. We thought we were in trouble. She said, that's really spooky. It's really spooky. We said, why? She says, I've been really searching spiritually recently. I've looked into Islam, I've looked into Buddhism. My wife and I said, well, we're Christians. Can we tell you our story? Both of us shared about the difference that Jesus has made in our life, that Jesus completely transformed our lives from top to bottom and inside out. And all the time in the background, the older teenager's texting. They do that, don't they? They do that. And he's texting away. And then he says something that made the whole situation really awkward. He says, Mum, I need to confess something to you. And we were like, whoa, okay, it's time for us to go. Happy Easter. He says, I've been doing Bible study with my friend for the last 3 months. We were like, wow. He says, can I start coming to your church? We were like, come on. As I walked home that day, I felt the Lord gently say to me, Phil, you should do what I say more often. But I also reflected on the fact that I'd been talking about this thing called the quiet revival. And it was happening on my doorstep without me realizing it. We are part of something amazing. Secondly, good news people are relational. Verse 7, Paul says, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. Now, we don't know very much about Epaphras. It doesn't really get many other mentions in the whole of the New Testament. But it's clear that Epaphras has had a clear impact on the church in Colossae. And many people have come to faith as a result of Epaphras. And I want to tell you this morning. The good news spreads at the speed of relationship. And I want to ask you this question. Who are you here as a result of today? I'm here as a result of an army chaplain and a man called Albert. A man called an army chaplain because in these buildings during World War II, my grandfather was stationed on the Isle of Islay off the west coast of Scotland. You might know it if you're into your whiskey. And my grandfather was stationed in these buildings, and one night the army chaplain shared the good news of Jesus with him. He thought this was amazing. He was cut to the heart, decided he wanted forgiveness for his past, God with him in his present, and hope for the future. And he decided to follow Jesus. He came back from the war and told his whole family about Jesus. And as a result of that, our family's destiny was changed forever. Who are you here as a result of? But I'm also here as a result of a man called Albert. See, Albert had a friend called William. And Albert was desperate for his friend William to come to know Jesus. I don't know about you, but in your lives, do you have people who you know how good God is? You know how good the good news is? But you've got friends who don't yet know that for themselves. Well, that was the case for Albert and William. And Albert did everything to get William to church, probably gave out postcards to get him to Easter, which is a really good thing to do with your Easter eggs when you knock on the doors on Good Friday. Only joking. Maybe not. Go for it. But Albert invites William to church. And eventually, William comes along to church. And he kind of hangs around at the back. But when he hears the good news of what Jesus has done for him, he says, do you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus for myself. And William is better known as a man called Billy Graham. You might have heard of him. He spoke to a few people about Jesus during his lifetime. An estimated audience of 2.2 billion people Billy Graham spoke to about Jesus. And one of those people was my dad. Billy Graham had a significant influence talking about Jesus to my dad. And my dad talked about Jesus to me. So I'm here as a result of my dad, as a result of an army chaplain, as a result of my grandfather, as a result of Billy Graham. But I'm also here as a result of a man who hardly anyone's heard of, called Albert McMackin. And here's the deal. We can't all be Billy Graham, but we can all be Albert McMackin. And I wonder whether for us today, as those around us might be more spiritually open than they have been, might we think about increasing our prayers for them, inviting them to stuff at Easter, just testing the water when it comes to conversations about faith. Because good news people are relational. I mentioned I study how people come to faith. Well, we did some research as the Evangelical Alliance last year, and one of the questions we asked new Christians was, who's been most helpful on the journey? And the really good news for people like me and Steve is that we can still have jobs because 23% said church leader. But look at everybody else. The most significant people on people's journey to faith are people from church, not the leader, close friends, family members, small groups of Christians. The good news spreads at the speed of relationship. I want to encourage you this morning, if you are a Christian, if you know Jesus for yourself, who are the people in your life who don't yet know Jesus? I want to encourage you to intensify your prayers for them in this moment. If you've not yet got a list of people you're praying for to come to faith, I encourage you to start one. It's good news people are relational. Thirdly, good news people are prayerful. Twice in this passage, Paul talks about the significance of prayer. Verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. There's a connection between what God does in people's lives and us praying for them. I don't know the connection, but I can tell you that there is. One really interesting story about prayer came from my now 13-year-old, but a few years ago, when the book on sharing faith came out, we read that book together. And one of the things that book encourages you to do is have a list of people you're praying for to come to faith. And my eldest son is quite manipulative. So he decided he could delay his bedtime by at least 5 minutes if he wrote a list of every single person he knew to become a Christian. So we ended up praying for every single person in his class before he went to bed. I can't really argue with that as his dad, can I? And then one day he comes back from school really excited and he says, Daddy, something amazing happened today. I'm like, what? He goes, Jacob became a Christian. I'm like, wow. I said, tell me what happened. He goes, well, I went up to him, right? I'm already thinking this is bad. He goes, went up to him. I said, Jacob, do you want to live forever? Jacob says, yes. Caleb says, all right, you've got to become a Christian then. Jacob says, okay. Caleb says, all right, you're now a Christian. Now, for the record, before you never buy any of my books ever again, that's not how the book says to do evangelism. And do you know what? If he's doing it like that when he's 29, not 9, we've got a problem. But it does show he gets it. And sometimes the connection between prayer and faith sharing means that our hearts are broken for those around us. And we have the courage and the confidence to speak to others. Good news people are prayerful. One of the really interesting things that I see in terms of the data of how people are coming to faith is this, that we ask people kind of what prompts them to begin exploring the Christian faith. And this is what we found. The number one reason why people begin exploring the Christian faith is they need help with life. And so what you're doing through the work of the food bank and being involved in the community, that helps people because people see the difference Jesus makes in other people's lives. But I've highlighted the new entry, if you like, into the new trend in terms of what we're seeing in terms of people coming to faith. 28% of people who start the journey on the way to faith say a spiritual experience played its part. We recently had someone turn up at our church in Quinton down the road because they'd had a dream, encouraging them to read the Bible. They turned up saying, I want to get baptized. Next Sunday, they're getting baptized. I even heard recently the story of someone who started coming to church as a result of ChatGPT. A young man woke up at the beginning of last year, decided his New Year's resolution was to find out about Jesus. So he types into ChatGPT, my New Year's resolution is to find out about Jesus, what shall I do? Has a little conversation with AI. And by the end of it, ChatGPT says, you should go to this church. It starts at this time. Here's what to expect and here's how long the sermon lasts. Hats off to the welcome team. Kudos to the welcome team. This welcome team nailed it. Because this guy turns up and they say, oh, we haven't seen you before. He says, I know, I've never been before. They say, what brings you here? He said, ChatGPT told me to come. A couple of weeks later, he decides to become a Christian. A few weeks after that, he gets baptized. Isn't that amazing? God's doing something new. Good news people are prayerful. And finally, good news people matter. Final verses of this passage, Paul emphasizes what the Christian faith is about. He says he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We don't follow Jesus to become slightly better behaved human beings. You follow Jesus because he changes everything. He really is forgiveness for our past, God's presence in our present, and hope for the future. Jesus doesn't just make our life a little bit better. I keep getting phone calls from my broadband company and the people who provide my television saying, would you like to slightly upgrade the package you have? Do you get those? All the time. Jesus doesn't make our lives slightly better. It changes everything. I realised this recently in conversation with a mate of mine called Dave. We've all got a mate called Dave, haven't we? My Dave speaks a bit like this. It's from Stourbridge. And I was having a conversation with Dave about faith. I've been praying for Dave. He's been someone on my list who I've been praying for over 20 years. By the way, sometimes it takes a really long time. So don't be discouraged if people don't come to faith straight away. I've been praying for Dave for 20 years. And Dave pours out his heart to me one afternoon. And he says, Phil, my life's such a mess. What shall I do? And I'd earned the right over years of friendship to say what I said next. I said, Dave, your life is a bit of a mess. I said, the only thing you can do is give your life to Jesus and let him sort it out. And he pauses for a minute and then he says this. What's the second best option? Hear me really well this morning. If you know Jesus, if you're following him, it doesn't matter what challenges you're facing, you are living in the best option for your life. But do you know what this morning, if you're not following Jesus, if you've not made the decision to put him on the throne of your life, it doesn't matter how much money you have, how popular you are, how well your job's going, you are still living in the second best option for your life. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And this is possible as we approach Easter because of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because at the cross, Jesus takes upon himself all the pain, all the shame, all the guilt we have ever done. And they die with him. And then he rises again so that we can know real life now and life forever in heaven. That is the good news. It's finished. It's over. There's more of them than us, and they look a lot bigger. The villain's got the girl and his fingers on the trigger. Voldemort, Sauron, and Vader reign. It's gone to penalties against the Germans again. It's a terrible feeling when hope is erased, faith misplaced, virtue defaced, gloom embraced. When you've pushed every door and it's been slammed in your face. When you realise you're third in a two-horse race. So come sit with me on Golgotha's slopes. See human history at its lowest ebb. See the forces of goodness and grace on the ropes. Evil had spoken, last rites read. In a phony gown and thorny crown, he's mocked and knocked and shamed. As he staggers down through an angry town, they spit and hit and hate. Hands that forged galaxies and flung starry trails are pierced and punctured by merciless nails. His body succumbing to brutal infliction, these are the horrors of crucifixion. And as dice are tossed, hope is lost. Desolate disciples count the cost. King of the Jews, his headrest embossed, a criminal's killing on Calvary's cross. And as last words cut through foul-smelling air, the whole of the cosmos cries out in despair, it is finished. It's over. But then dawn breaks on Easter Day. Darkness quakes as shadows give way to the light. See, resurrection's the plan, it's why God sent him. And the comeback's on, there's a change of momentum. The powers of damnation in previous jubilation have been hushed and crushed by the Lord of creation. See, he takes the hit, stands where we should have stood. And that's why we call Friday good. And he's back with life and with us and blessed. And that's why we can know it as Sunday best. So to the 4-0 down, to the backs against the wall, listen to his rallying resurgent call. And to those up against it in brokenness and pain, Easter's story roars, we go again. So thine be the glory. Death's lost its sting. Here's to Jesus, the comeback king. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This morning, may we know that we carry that good news. We're good news people. We're part of something amazing. May we be more prayerful. May we be more relational. And may we know that who we are in this world, as our news feeds are full of discouragement and bad news, who we are really matters. Amen. Let's quickly pray, shall we? Just invite you where you are to ask God to burn on your heart that which he shared with you today. Just as your eyes are closed, to just invite you, if you feel far from God today, maybe you've never had a moment of opening your heart to God. Just invite you to open your heart to him. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that this Easter we will celebrate again the fact that you died and rose again for us. Help us to get our lives right with you. And we might not have it all together, but may we follow you with all that we are. And I pray for this brilliant and beautiful church. Would you bless them in Jesus' name? Would you help them to be the good news people that you've called them to be? And I thank you so much for them today. In Jesus' name, amen.